नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय तादृष्ट्वान्तिकमायाता भगवान् व्रजजोषितः अवदत् वदतां श्रेष्ठो वाचः पेशैर्विमोहयन् श्री भगवान वाच स्वागतं वो महाभागः प्रियं किं करवाणि वः ब्रजस्यानामयं कच्चे ब्रूतागमन कारण रजन्येषा घोररूपा घोरसत्त्वनिषेविता प्रतीयात ब्रजं नेह स्थेयं स्त्रिभिः सुमध्यमः मातरः पितरः पुत्रः भ्रातरः पतयश्च वः विचिन्वन्ति ह्यपश्यन्तो मा क्रीड्वं बन्धुसाध्वसाम् दृष्टं वनं कुसुमितां राकेशकररञ्जितां जमुना निललीलैजत् तरुपल्लवशोभितां तद्यातमाचिरं गोष्ठां शुश्रूषध्वं पतिं सतिः क्रन्दन्ति वत्सा बालाश्च तान् पाह्यत दुह्यत अथवा मदभिस्नेहा भवत्यो जन्त्रिताशयः आगता ह्युपपन्नं वः प्रीयन्ते मयि जन्तवः भर्तुः शुश्रूषणं स्त्रीणां परो धर्मो यमायया तद्बन्धूनां च कल्याण्यः प्रजानां चानुपोषणम् दुःशीलो दुर्भगो वृद्धो जडोरोग्यधनोऽपि वा पतिः स्त्रीभिर्नहातव्यो लोकेप्सुभिरपातकी अस्वर्ग्यमजसस्यं च फल्गुकृच्छ्रं भयावहं जुगुप्सितं च सर्वत्र औपपत्यं कुलस्त्रियः स
श्रवणात् दर्शनात् ध्यानात् मयि भावानुकीर्तनात् न तथा सन्निकर्षेण प्रतीयात ततो गृहान्। जो चबूतरा है वह उन लोगों के लिए है जिनके पैर में दर्द रहता है, तो ज्यादा ऊपर के हैं। कम उम्र वाले लोग से ही बैठ उनको मैं बोलूँ ना कि आकृष्ट गोपियों को दृष्टवा।
श्लोक 17 ऑफ द गोपी गीत रासपंच अध्याय ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। सीइंग दैट द गर्ल्स ऑफ व्रजा हैड अराइव्ड, लॉर्ड कृष्णा द बेस्ट ऑफ स्पीकर्स ग्रीटेड देम विद चार्मिंग वर्ड्स दैट बिवल्डर्ड देयर माइंड्स।
श्रीपाद श्रीधर स्वामी जी लिखते हैं प्रस्तुतम आह। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी अब प्रस्ताव कथा कह रहे हैं। प्रस्ताव कथा का जो कथा चल रही थी उसको बीच में महाराज परीक्षित ने प्रश्न करके
सो इन द कमेंट्री बाय श्रीपाद श्रीधर स्वामी ही इज राइटिंग दैट हियर From now onwards, Sukadeva Goswami is continuing the Leela. Now, in between, King Parikshit had interrupted the flow of the Leela by asking the question to which Sukadeva Goswami had to explain in a concise way. Now, he is continuing the Rasi Leela from here onwards. The storyline had reached here that Krishna saw the nights of the Sharad. He saw the moon rise, the Vrindavan decorated by the rays of the moon, and he played beautifully on the flute, hearing which the gopis abandoned their house and the household duties and ran towards Krishna. In that part, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is saying that some of the gopis were locked up in their rooms and they got rid of their impious karmas due to the fire of separation, and they got rid of their pious karmas by meeting the Lord through their meditation. In this way, they got rid of their karma bandhan and achieved Krishna in his Nitya Leela. Some of them consider Krishna as a lover rather than lover other than their husband. Still, they got rid of their material bodies and achieved liberation. Now, to this, King Parikshit had asked the question that how is it that these gopis achieved liberation simply by loving him as an ordinary lover without any feeling of the supreme position as Bhagavan? For this, he answered in short, and now Sukadeva Goswami continues the Leela.
Tumayata Bhagavan Braja Joshitaha Abadad Badatam Sestro Vachah Peshair Vimohayan Badatam Sestraha Bhagavan Tah Braja Joshitaha Antikam Ayata Dristva वाचः पेशहि विमोहयन् अवदत्। भगवान ने देखा श्री गोपियों को अपने निकट आया हुआ।
Now Krishna saw that the gopis had arrived close to him by his calling of the flute. Now he had called upon them to give them the pleasure and to fulfill his own promise towards them. Now these gopis are the very swaroop of the Lord and were called by Krishna to enjoy them. They were his own Swarup Shakti. Hence, all their qualities, beauty, etc., were meant for his pleasure. So he called upon them to enjoy. Because Krishna is the supreme truth, he will never take pleasure with those created by his external separated energies, that is the Maya Shakti. Those created by this Shakti, Maya Shakti, cannot even talk with the Lord. What to say of the Lord enjoying them? They are totally separated energies of the Lord. The whole lot of living entities in this material world are all attached to those items which are made of this external energy, that is the Maya. So Krishna, desiring with his own internal potency, called by the flute, and he saw the effect. What happened? They all came running as if being pulled by a rope towards him. One after the other, each one was reaching with their tongues filled with glorification of the Lord. They were not even aware that they were leaving their house and the household duties and relatives and coming here. They were only immersed in the glorification of the love of the Lord. This is the nature of love, that they came running and straight away did not hug him, rather stood with their face bent towards the ground. They did not want to show him that they have come here being enchanted by the flute. They wanted to show to Krishna that they just came. And seeing this attitude, Krishna gave them such a reply. His reply, as stated in the shloka here, is, "Why have you come here? It is night." The gopis were behaving as per the nature of the Nayikas. But the reply which he gave shattered all their hopes. Tears poured down their eyes. Now, although Krishna was speaking, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that he was using the words in such a way that it had one meaning, which was a very prayerful, requesting meaning. Prarthanamaya artha means a favorable meaning, and another meaning had as upekshamaya, which was a rejecting mood. So in the prayerful requesting mood, it meant, "Oh, you have come. I've been waiting since so many days." That way, that was a favorable meaning. And on the other hand, it had a rejecting attitude. The gopis could not perceive the prayerful meanings of his words. They could only understand the rejecting mood. So, ta drishtvantikam mayata, he looked at all the gopis who had arrived. He welcomed them, not only as a whole group, but even individually. Say, for example, if he saw Radharani, he smiled at her personally. But he did not call her nearby. The gopis were in so much of pleasure that their desires were now getting fulfilled. They were waiting for this day to be with their Priyatama. They knew his nature, that he is capable of taking care of millions of women. All his leelas like Kaliya Daman, Govardhan Leela, all these leelas proved this fact. So they were very confident that even though he is not Narayan, but Garga Muni had said that he is like Narayan. He is equal to Narayan in qualities. The actual meaning of it is that only Narayan can be equal to him. But these innocent Rajavasis thought that our dear child has become similar to Narayan by the mercy of Narayan. So just like Lord Narayan is capable of maintaining billions of living entities and millions of universes, similarly, our Krishna will take care of all of us. The gopis were not worried of whether they will have to live, where they have to live after leaving their homes. They were ready to live with him in the forest. They were ready to live in the forest with their dear Shyamasundar. Whether he takes care of us or not, we just want to be with him. That was their feelings. And that desire has today got fulfilled when their Priyatama has personally called them by the fruit. So you can imagine how much of ananda they were filled on this day. And seeing them, Krishna smiled. He looked at each one of them and smiled at each one of them. At the same time, he had a very surprising look. It mentioned, "Oh, you have also come? Oh, you have also come?" Now, Vachaha Pesha. Krishna, by the ability of his words, he bewildered them in the sense that they started crying. Vimohayan. They felt, we love him so much, but he is rejecting us with beautiful words. Internally he has love, but externally he loves them so much. And he called them towards him for his own pleasure and desires. But while speaking, he is Vadatam Shreshtaha, the best of the speakers. He has to give the example of Vadatam Shreshtaha, he has spoken so much in the Shastra that learned people have explained it in various meanings. Just take the example of Bhagavad Gita. There are millions of meanings by different acharyas. Some have even mental concoction. The shloka says in Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. But when they explain, it concludes that Krishna is not Bhagavan. Such foolish explanations are also there. So that it's not their fault, because the best of the speakers, Vadatam Shreshtaha, has spoken it in such a way that so many meanings can be derived. But in reality, the real meaning is only one. But it can be understood in many ways. For example, here, in this case, Krishna's words' real meaning was, "Oh, it's so nice that you all have come. Look how beautiful the night is, how beautiful Vrindavan is. I'm so happy you all came." But every gopi took it in their own bhav. Some felt he's rejecting them. Some felt he's annoying them. In the beginning of his words, that is text 18, he is not saying anything negatively. His actual heart's desires are being revealed in this line.
Swagatam vo mahabhaga priyam kim karmaadi vaha brajasya namayam kachit bruta gamana karanam.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna said, "O most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Raja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here." Now, in this shloka, Krishna is saying four sentences. Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the supreme beautiful personality of Godhead said. Now, Bhagavan itself means beautiful. But while adding the word Shri to it, he is stressing on the beauty of the Lord. O you most fortunate ladies, welcome unto you. Swagatam means, swagatam has two parts, su and agatam. Su means good, agatam means coming. So su agatam means good coming. That's exactly what we say in English, welcome, good coming. So he's saying, it's so nice that you have come. But there is a question also in the statement. It also means, O fortunate ladies, have you all travelled safe while coming here? Hope you did not have any difficulties while coming here? Means, su agatam. Was your coming good? was your coming safe? So swagatam means you are welcome. I'm very pleased by your coming. Now the next word is mahabhaga, means most fortunate ladies. It also means most chaste ladies. He is reminding them of their husbands. With this meaning of chaste ladies, he is reminding them of their husbands. Now, what is the most fortunate position for a lady? The most fortunate position for a lady is if she is attached to the feet of her husband, then she is called Mahabhaga, very fortunate. So Krishna is also trying to mean this. He is not saying Mahabhaga because they have left their home and relatives and have come to him. Although within his heart, this is what he means. He knows that in reality, the gopis are the crest jewel of all the most fortunate souls in this universe. So they have achieved Krishna as their Priyatama. What can be more fortunate for a living being than this? But externally, he is indicating them to be Sati Shiromani, meaning crest jewel of chastity. Internally, he also means to say that even in their dreams, they have not known anyone other than Krishna. So now he is welcoming them. Next is Priyam Kim Karavani Vaha. What may I do to please you? What he means is, you have come so far. Would you like to eat something? Or sit? Shall I massage your feet? Shall I fan you? What do you desire? What is pleasing to you? Now for the gopis, what is more pleasing than having Krishna being pleased? Here Krishna is speaking so favorably. What may I do to please you? The gopis are not speaking any word. Now the next line, is everything all right in Braj? That is what he is saying. Now at this point, the smile he had on his face had vanished. He is doubting on the safety of Raja. He is questioning them. There is no trouble in Braj? I hope there is no trouble in Braj. Because whenever there was trouble in Raj, all the Vrajavasis came running to him. Like for example, Indra's heavy rain, Arishtasur, so many demons. And all of them would come running to him for help. So now he is indicating to them that they have come here for help. Any sankat? Trouble? The gopis are thinking with anger in the mind, sankat, trouble. First of all, you call us by the flute and then asking us of sankat. Yes, our sankat is that you have called us by the flute. Now, anamayam. Anamayam means trouble. Krishna is saying that they have come to indicate him the trouble in Raja. Still, the gopis did not answer anything. Now, next, he is saying, very specifically, he is asking, Bruta Agamana Karanam. Please tell me the reason you have come here. Very clearly, he is saying, please tell me the reason, because the gopis did not answer him when is everything all right? They were still quiet. So he is very specifically asking them, please tell me the reason you have come here. Here he appears to be worried. Krishna is the best of speakers. He uses wonderful words, wonderful sentences, and even his tone and voice is wonderful, sweeter than the kokila birds, and full of variety of meanings. He was waiting for the reply from the gopis. He asked these four questions Still the gopis were all quiet. So in the next sentence he is saying, "Oh, you have not come here on purpose. You had gone to Mathura to sell milk. Then you lost your way in this night and so you ended up here." Still the gopis did not say even one word. They were getting shattered more and more. The more they were listening, the more they were getting shattered. He was just directly indicating to them that they were not doing the right thing. He meant, "Oh, maybe not from Mathura, maybe you are coming from Gokul. What is the reason? Have you lost the way? Or you left your homes? Or you had fight in your homes?" Bruta Agamana Karanam, he is asking, what is the reason you have come? Why have you come? So, have you lost your way? Have you fought in your house? Have you left your home? Now, hearing all this, they were getting depressed. Just hearing the first three sentences, they were depressed. They were upset. Our Priyatama does not understand our love. We have left everything long back. He does not remember anything. Now they are answering in their minds. Now he is saying, Pratiyata Vrajam Nehasteyam Stri Bihi Sumadhyamaha. Pratiyata Vrajam means go back to Vraja, leave this forest immediately. The way you came, go back in the same way, immediately. Iha, in this forest. Like women are not supposed to be staying around at night in this forest. And how is he addressing them? Sumadhyama, oh slender waisted girls. Meaning, he is also on one side appreciating their beauties and describing their beauties. Oh you beauties, you should not stay back in this place. With this description of the beauties, he is also meaning in a, there is another meaning to his statements. There is a requesting meaning, that is prayerful meaning or a favorable meaning, which meant that, oh slender waisted girls, this is night, so we do not have to be worried as in the day. So you stay back here, there is nothing fearful, no one to fear about. Rajani esha ghora rupa. It also means Rajani Esha Aghora Rupa, meaning this is night and it is not fearful as it is in the day. Moreover, it is Purnima night, so there is no fearful creature in the night. Ataha Vrajam Na Pratiyata. It means, so do not go to Vraja. You should stay here only. This is the prayerful, favorable meaning of his statement. But The poor gopis, they just could not understand this meaning. They could only understand the rejecting meaning of his statement, which meant that he was asking them to go back to Vraja. Now, nastheyam, what it means is, even for 1 second it is not right to stay back. What to speak of hours and whole night? Why? In the next line, why they should not stay back? So that he is going to explain in the next line. In the next line he is saying, see, in case if your mother, father, husband, brother, even one of them comes and sees that you are here, we are not even doing anything, but just seeing you standing here in front of me, what will happen to my name? And I will also get beaten by all of them. I am very scared. And what will happen to you all? They will never be able to forgive you. Oh, so Pratiyata, he is saying, Pratiyata, go back immediately for my name's sake, for safety of my life and for your own good. Go back. Now just see that Krishna, who has called them with the flute for Ras Vihar, and that too not for just one night but for millions of night, look what he is saying. So this is also one of his beauties, the beauty of the way he speaks. He himself is relishing it. So every shloka has such requestful, prayerful meaning behind them. But to get the full relish of the ras, it is not good for us to go by the prayerful meaning. It is better to accept the rejecting meaning. So as per the rejecting meaning, go back, don't stay. Now suppose the gopis feel in their minds, why should we go? So for that he is answering in the next shloka. Translation, not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. Now, the gopis might think, O Supreme Purush, when we are standing right in front of you, what is the need for us to worry of any fearful creature? Even Kali and Nag was frightened by you. What to say of any snake or bear? We are not worried of any fearful creatures. Hence, he is now directing their love to their family members. Because they have such an answer in their mind, they are not speaking anything, but it is all within the mind. So now, to answer to that, in reply to that, he is directing their love to their family members in this particular shloka. He is saying, fine, you are not worried of the fearful creatures, but there are all of your family members at home. They are searching for you. Why are you putting them into such terrible anxiety? Go back. He is saying, your mothers are searching for you, your fathers are searching, you know. He's saying that your relatives are all searching. Searching means present continuous. So he's saying now that all your mothers, fathers, they're all searching. Now it's quite natural if any daughter or daughter-in-law would leave home in the middle of the night, how much anxiety filled searching would be going on in the house back at home. You can imagine. Some may be having torch in their hands, some may be having lanterns in their hands. Somehow or the other, they would be searching for them in every nook and corner in that dark night. Where has she gone? Where has she gone? But the gopis were so attached to Krishna that all these words could not deviate them. Mataraha means not only mothers but also mother-in-law, the other elderly ladies too. Similarly, Pitaraha, Putraha. Now, the gopis do not have Pitaraha, means fathers and the father-in-laws and other elderly fathers, men. Now, Putraha, gopis do not have any sons. But this Putra means those kids of their relatives who were considered like their sons. Now, Bradaraha means brothers and Patihi means husbands. Now, they all are searching. Krishna is saying, don't put such loving members into such an anxiety in the process of searching. If one of them reaches here, what will happen to all of us? He's showing this fear. Thus, through this, Krishna is meaning, trying to show to us, in that in this world, to give up the love of one's relatives is the most difficult thing, even for the munis. Some of them may give up their homes, but they keep remembering them. In today's world, it is even more worse. There's always a mobile phone and they're always saying, hello, hello, which is always on. At least for 7 days, give up this mobile phone. See how much love is there. Now, he's saying, they call up on the phone, and they say, how are you? See how much love is there. Nowadays, among relatives, the love is not much with the extended family members, even for the parents. It is only within the nuclear family members, like husband, wife, children. So this love to relatives is also a big cause of forgetfulness of Krishna. If these relations can be cut off for Krishna, then it is the most auspicious thing for the living entity. But to reject them for someone else or some other purpose is not good. So here Krishna is reminding the gopis of the natural love they have for their relatives. Why are they searching for you? Due to love. So please get back immediately and be present in front of their eyes. This is my request. Don't cause anxiety to them. They will see you, and when they see you, they will become peaceful. He's saying, you should not have come. This is wrong. Anyway, you have come. So, swagatam. You're welcome. But please go back. So we can see that the gopis are not answering to Krishna's bhutagamana karanam. And Krishna is deciphering various meanings. Bhutagamana karanam means, what is the reason that you have come? They are not answering to it, and Krishna is deciphering various meanings. Now, hearing these words, the gopis are going through anger in love, which is being expressed on their face and their eyes. They stopped looking at Krishna. They just looked away, here and there, into the forest of Vrindavan. This is the nature of love. Seeing this, Krishna says, oh, now I understand why you have come. You have come to see the beauty of the forest. So that is in the next shloka.
Samutam rake sukaravanditam jamuna nilali lay jataru pallava shobitam. Aap samajh gaya.
Translation. Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of the trees with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze coming from the Yamuna. So now go back to the cowherd village. Don't delay. O chaste ladies, serve your husbands and give milk to your crying babies and calves. So here Krishna is saying, oh, so you have come to see the beauty of the forest. Okay, now you have seen the forest, right? Kusumitam, full of flowers. So many varieties of flowers are filled here. Now again, he is showing his requestful prayer to them. He also means to say internally, there is another meaning, favorable meaning, which he says, see how beautiful the forest is, full of flowers, decorated by the light of the full moon. Look at the beauty of the trees. How the leaves are trembling with the soft breeze coming from the Yamuna. Such soft, gentle, fragrant breeze. So you've seen all this, isn't it? But now you go back. Now they had not come to see Vrindavan. They have come to see Vrindavan Bihari. Krishna is describing the beauty of the trees of Vrindavan. their newly grown leaves and fruits. The breeze is touching the waves of Yamuna. The breeze is carrying the fragrance of the lotuses which have blossomed in Yamuna. He is describing the beauty. Krishna is saying, look at the beauty of Vrindavan. Look at the beauty of the trees of Vrindavan. Such newly grown leaves and fruits. Look at the breeze touching the waves of Yamuna. The breeze is carrying the fragrance of the lotuses which have blossomed in Yamuna. And because the breeze is touching the waves of Yamuna, it is so cooling. And because of this gentle, cooling, fragrant breeze, the leaves of the trees are trembling. So now these are the Uddipan ingredients for the Shringar Ras. This shows very clearly that he actually wants to do Vihar. Otherwise, what is the need to describe in such depth the details of the beauty of Vrindavan? He actually means to say, look at this, and look at this, and this, and this. Please don't go. He's explaining that. Hey Priye, all these are meant for our dance, so don't go back. But it is externally being expressed the other way. While saying, he does not allow even a bit of his bhav to be expressed. So that is the reason that the gopis had started crying. So now you can see that every shloka will have a double meaning. But we will go by the rejecting meaning.
Atamachiram goshtam susrusadvam patinsati krandanti vatsa balascha tan payat duhyata. He satyo.
O chaste women. Now, by addressing them this chaste women, he is actually trying to agitate the love in their hearts for their husbands. He is saying, now that you have seen the beauty of Vrindavan, go back immediately. Machiram. Machiram means do not delay even for a second, even for a moment. So he's reminding them of their duties. He's telling them you have some duties. And what duties? Shushrushitam. Serve. Serve your husbands. Now, the real husband is you, Krishna, which is a fact for all living entities. This will be revealed by the gopis later in the Leela. But for an ordinary lady, Krishna is giving the advice of her dharma. Go back home and serve your husbands. The real husband is you, Krishna. But he's saying, Krandanti Vatsa Balascha. Next, that is, the little children and the little calves are also crying. He is saying, you have tied up the calves while milking and you have not released them and they are crying for their mother's milk. People are all searching for you all and hence there is no one there to release these calves whom you have tied up. Because all the people in the house have all gone out of the house. They're searching for you. The poor calves are tied up and they're crying for their mother's milk. Even the little children are all crying. Who's there to take care of them? Because all the elders are all out looking for you. So you please go back and feed them all. Look what all Krishna is saying to arouse the compassion in the gopis. The whole village is in anxiety. Who would be there? A lady who will not go back after hearing all this advice? But gopis are gopis. They know the supreme eternal truth that Krishna is their eternal husband. So whoever cries or dies, it does not matter to them. This is the greatness of their love. How much Krishna is trying to induce love in them, whether they developed love for the others or not. But those little children, little children, how wonderful and attractive the little children look, isn't it? And he's trying to remind the gopis of them and inducing love in their hearts for those tiny tots. Even if a person does not have children, after hearing such a statement, he will run and go and pick up those little children and feed milk. So Krishna is thus convincing, don't delay, go back. He's explaining them, Shushrushatam Patim, serve your husbands. It is not the duty of women to come and see the beauty of the forest and hang around here. It's your duty to serve your husbands. So now in the next shloka, he's going to describe this in full detail. Sorry, that was the next shloka. There is one shloka before that. Maharaj missed it. He's coming back to the earlier shloka. So, even after telling all this, the gopis are still not answering anything. So, Krishna understood that the gopis are meaning that we have come here out of love for you. We are not concerned with our duties nor our relatives. So, to this, he is answering in the next shloka. Translation, on the other hand, perhaps you have come here out of your great love for me, which has taken control of your hearts. This is, of course, quite commendable on your part, since all living entities possess natural affection for me. Now, Krishna is saying, okay, on the other hand, maybe it is also possible that maybe you have come here because of your love for me. Oh, this love has overtaken your hearts. But this is just my very nature, that all living entities are naturally in love for me. It's just very natural. So Krishna is replying here as the gopis are just one among all the other living entities. He's saying, every living entity, you know, when they see me, they feel happy and they feel love for me. So it's the same with you. But others, they see me and they continue to do their duties. So now you should also go back. It's not right that your hearts are entangled by love for me, and that love has forced you to come here, and hence you left your home in the middle of the night. All this is okay. Anyway, all living entities love me. So he was talking in such a way that it's just very, that love was just one among the love of all the other living entities. Now actually the gopis' love is not that of the other living entities. The deer loves Krishna, the trees love Krishna, the cows love Krishna. But the gopis' love is not like theirs. But still, Krishna is equating their love to the love of the ordinary living entities. And he's telling them, go back home. So here Krishna is saying like this because he wants to show the world what is the depth of the gopis' love. He wants to show the world the very unique love which the gopis possess. He wants it to be shown even to the demigods how much the gopis love him. And that is why he is saying this in this way. Not that he is rejecting them. Neither is he in a requesting mode here. Now, he is also trying to convey to us that prem does not mean that everyone should give up all their household duties and come and be here with me. Jantavaha. Jantavaha means all living beings, including the trees, animals, birds, everyone. He says it is due to his very nature that all living entities love him. Similarly, you too love me. But now look at your swarup, your position. See what you're doing. You're the wife of someone. So your duty is to serve your husband. You can love me too. He's giving a beautiful principle that maybe one is married or unmarried. Krishna is giving a very beautiful principle. That maybe one is married or unmarried. You can still look at me, but not any other man who is not your husband. He means to say, whether you're married or unmarried, you should look at me. It's fine. But not any other man who is not your husband. In the next shloka, he's very vividly explaining it. Translation. The highest religious duty for a woman is to sincerely serve her husband, behave well towards her husband's family, and take good care of her children. So, the highest duty for a woman is what? Is to serve her husband very sincerely, without any duplicity or without any cheating attitude. Duplicity means cheating attitude. Now, Krishna is saying absolutely right, something which is very, very right. A woman's highest duty is to serve her husband. And how to serve? He's saying it here, amayaya, without any duplicity. Like what it means is like serving to get something from her husband, serving out of fear of society. All this is called duplicity. But this is not the way to serve. One should serve amayaya. How? One should serve simply for the matter of serving. And that is called amayaya. Now maya means you have something in your mind. Show off or gain or fruitive desires. For example, Diti. Diti served Kashyapa Muni. She had kapat, duplicity in her mind. Her desire to ask for a son who will kill Indra. But Krishna here says, one should serve without duplicity, with the bhav that my husband is my lord, the best person, and serve him to give him pleasure. This is the swadharma of a woman. In reality, love of God is one thing. But keeping that aside, looking into the material world, in this material world, there are numerous duties a woman has to perform. Of all of them, the highest duty for her is her duty to her husband. By just sincerely serving her husband, a woman advances tremendously. Not only in this world, even in the next life, she gets a very high position. She gets lots of opulence, beauty, lot of good qualities. Just by the strength of her pativrata or chastity or undeviated love to her husband, she can even liberate her own husband. She can not only liberate her own husband, she can also liberate her relatives. All her relatives. She is attached to two families. A woman is attached to two families. Her husband's family and her own family where she has taken birth. So by her strength of chastity and undeviated love for her husband, she can liberate both these families. But on the other hand, a woman who loves someone else other than her husband will bring down both the families into hellish planets. And this is what Shastra says. It is mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a story of Chavan Rishi. He got married to Sukanya. Now Chavan Rishi was very, very old, and he got his youth back by the mercy of the Ashwini Kumars. One day the king, that is the father of Sukanya, came to forest to inquire on the welfare of his daughter and he wanted to see how she is engaged in serving her husband. Now he happened to see his daughter sitting with a very young man in that very same ashram. He was not aware that his son-in-law had regained a youthful form by the mercy of Ashwini Kumars. He just saw because he only knew his son had got married to a very old man. And here she is sitting with a very youthful form, a man with a youthful form. He was shocked. Now, Sukanya offered obeisances to him as soon as she saw her father. That is a culture in the past. When Sukanya offered obeisances to his father, now earlier the king, the father, would receive his daughter with a hug, but this time he was unable to do so. His heart was shattered. He was thinking, my daughter who has taken birth in a very high family is sitting here with a man who is not her husband. Oh, what a terror. He asked her, you're a daughter from a very high family and here you're sitting with some other man? Where is that old husband of yours? Have you rejected him because he's old? You unchaste lady? You're sending both my family and your husband's family to the hellish planets. Get out of my sight. Hearing this, Sukanya laughed and she explained the whole incident to her father. Then the king became so pleased and he blessed her and praised her, saying, you've served your husband so well. You're so great. So this is a story of a chaste woman in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9. So, whether a husband is old or young or anything, for a wife, he alone is the Swami, the Ishwar. He is to be equally worshipped as Bhagavan. So Krishna is here saying, Bhartuhu Shushrushanam, to serve the husband is a woman's highest duty, paro dharmo. That too with nishkapat bhav, without duplicity. Now, tad bandhunam means relatives of a husband also has to be served. Like husband's mother, father, and whoever related people. Prajanam means children born of her husband. They also have to be served. So Krishna is saying, you all go, do your service to your husband, to their husband's relatives and your children. You have not done these duties. Rather, you have put them into trouble. They are all crying and bewildered. Although coming to Vrindavan and coming to me, you have done your highest, topmost duty, but it is adharma to put them into such a bewildering state. A wife can never repay her debt to her husband, how much ever she serves him. He is called Bhartar, means the ruler. He rules over her. He takes care of her, gives her clothing, decorations, home, food, kids. He's ruling. Pati, pati means what? One who is protector. Bhartar means ruler. So both are for husbands, both the names. Pati also means, is meant for husband. Bhartar is also meant for husband. How can the wife ever repay such a husband? So here Krishna is bringing light to the fact that it is forbidden for a woman to give up her husband and even for a husband to reject his wife. This wife-husband relationship is a very pure one. Krishna uses the word anuposhanam, means to take care. It is the woman who takes care of everyone. She cooks food, she feeds her husband, children, relatives, servants, she raises up the children, one and all. It is the duty, this is the duty of the woman. And if a woman abandons all these duties and roams around in the forest, it is adharma. Here on one side, Krishna is placing the whole material world, that is the samsara, family members, duties, etc., all on one side for the gopis, and he's keeping Krishna on the other side. Now, it is the topmost duty for a woman to serve her husband. But the ultimate highest duty is to serve Krishna. Krishna is the husband, Krishna is the son, Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father, Krishna is all relations. He alone is all the relations, the real relation. Now the gopis will give the answer to each and everything that he has said in such a way that he had to accept that what he said was wrong. But what Krishna has said is right, it's correct for ordinary women. In the case of those women who are devotees of Krishna, they're not in a situation that they can have direct meeting and serving Krishna. So, for them too, these instructions are highly valid. Those devotees of Krishna, women who are devotees of Krishna, who are in a situation that they do not have direct meeting and serving Krishna, for them too, these instructions are highly valid. Her husband may be a loafer, still performing these duties is her highest dharma.
Paro dharma. Durusilo durbhago vriddho jadarogyadhano piva pati stri bhinaha tabyo lokepsu virapataki.
Translation. Women who desire a good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has not fallen from his religious standards, even if he is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly, or poor. Now, that lady who desires a good life, that is, happiness in this life and next, should never abandon her husband. Never. Never. Na hatavyo. Na hatavyo, Krishna is saying. Never to be rejected. Now think of this word, na hatavyo. And think of the word diverse, which is going on in this world. It's diverse. It's a tradition of the Rakshasas. It's not the culture of civilized people. An Aryan would never teach to reject her husband. These have all come from the uncivilized people. Talak, divorce, these are the words that belong to the uncivilized people. In our land, it never happened in the past, even till few years back, that wife and husband would reject each other. In our country, this is a new word. It has come from the Western world. Our people have become slaves to the Western civilization. They like their language, their English language. Their language is English, Western. Their thinking is English. Their eating is English. Their clothing is English. Everything is English. Nowadays, these words are used as though it's just a part of the Sanskrit language. Actually, these words never ever existed in the past. Now, the other day, one man was saying that nowadays in the court, the queue for marriage is short and the queue for divorce is very long. Now, see, Krishna is here saying that that woman who desires a good destination in this life and next should never abandon her husband. Now, what kind of husband? Krishna is mentioning all the specifications. He's saying, apathaki. A husband who has not fallen from religious standards. Such an apathaki, be he an offender, be he of bad character, be he rude, be he a thief, still he should not be rejected. Dushil, he's mentioning another character, Dushil, bad character. Durbhaga means unfortunate. Suppose he is not earning enough money even after working a lot due to his bad karmas. Such a person should also not be rejected, thinking that, oh, he's not earning much money, let me marry someone else who is rich. The happiness which a wife should get will come from her husband. She cannot get from anywhere else. This is not only mentioned in the Shastras, but it is also experienced directly by many. Those who have done this have had a very miserable life. Vriddho. Now another specification Krishna mentioning is vriddho, old. Even if he's old, still he should not be rejected. Then he's saying another, jadaha. If he is retarded physically, or maybe he is foolish, still he should not be rejected. Rogi. Next is Rogi. Maybe he is afflicted with some terrible disease. Still, he should not be rejected. This will lead to misery in both this life and the next life. In this life, what will happen in this life? She will be abused by the society. People will call her a black mark for the society. And what will happen in the next world? The Yamadutas will punish her, put her into so much of misery. In this life, she will face infamy. People will call her a second number lady. One who faces infamy is similar to a dead person. Especially when it comes upon a character of a lady, she will be spit upon by the people. Srila Prabhupada says that if a woman is chaste, even if she is the wife of a sweeper, a sadhu will keep his head bowed down when he sees her. But however beautiful if one is, but unchaste, people will spit upon her. So Krishna is saying that one who desires a lot of wealth, opulence, beauty, happiness, etc., in the next life, she should never abandon her husband at any cost. Krishna is saying the rightmost thing. So if one should not reject a husband who is even of bad character, who is even unfortunate, who is very, very, very old, who is retarded, who is sick or poor, then what to say of any man who is not sick, not old, not poor, not retarded, not unfortunate, not of bad character? How can such a husband be ever rejected? And for us, we can add up one more point to this, that if the husband is a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna, how can he ever be rejected? How can one ever give up a Vaishnava and marry someone else? Everything is finished for her. Who is saying this? Krishna is saying this. He is addressing the gopis, wherein the gopis are not of this character at all. They were of such highly elevated souls. They were all wives of Krishna and they only wanted to serve Krishna. They had no this life and next life. They were not bothered of fame and infamy in all the three worlds. People like Brahma and Uddhava glorify them. Lord Chaitanya even offers obeisances unto them. Uddhava says that he wants to take birth after birth to be a grass in Vraj, just to take the dust of their feet upon his head. Lord Chaitanya has proved that of all the devotees in the entire material and spiritual world, the highest and topmost is the gopis, to the extent that all the Mahapurush wants to achieve that love which they have. So how can they be an object of abuse? All the six Goswamis always wanted to be in the gopi bhav. They always desired to be in the manjari bhav. The bhav that the gopis have is so rare and so pure. So all this what Krishna said is not meant for the gopis. Please do not consider the gopis in this. Krishna is only using the gopis as an instrument to give us instruction, to give instruction to all the women of this world. These instructions are not directly meant for the gopis. Now, here in this shloka, Krishna is giving one option where a husband can be given up. One option, or that if he is a apataki. Krishna has given that if he is a, sorry, he is mentioning, by mentioning apataki, he is giving one option that if the husband is a pataki. Apataki means not fallen. Pataki means if he is fallen, then he can be rejected. But if he is a pataki, he should not be rejected. Through this, Krishna is also teaching that in the same way, one should never abandon a wife. If so, he will also go through infamy and miseries. To achieve Krishna prema, if one rejects, that's another issue. Now, once one devotee told me that he left his wife for Krishna. I warned him that if you have really left her for Krishna, then even in your dreams you should not be talking to another woman. Or else it means you have not left her for Krishna, but for something else. Now, coming back to the Leela, if the gopis now at this point are saying, Hey Vrajaranjan, we have not considered anyone other than you as our husband. Maybe others, for the sake of name, would have mentioned that so and so is our husband. But from our side, even by name, we have never considered in the past, nor now, and never in future, will we ever think of anyone else other than you as our husband. So for this, Krishna is answering to them in the next shloka. He is answering to them that, I agreed and I understand that you accept only me as your husband. However, I am not married to you. So actually I am a jar. Jar means outside lover, extraneous lover. Look, Sakhis, in this world, the happiness derived from such a jar purush is filled with lots of falls and miseries. This he is saying in the next shloka. Translation: for a woman from a respectable family, petty adulterous affairs are always condemned. They bar her from heaven, ruin her reputation, and bring her difficulty and fear. So, aupapatyam means that happiness derived from jar purush or extraneous lover, outside lover. So Krishna is saying, O women of respectable families, this pleasure derived from such adulterous affairs leads to aswargyam. Aswargyam means not leading to heaven. It means it finishes all the pious activities which are mature enough to lead to the heavens. It destroys all the sukrit, the good activities performed in the past and that are about to mature. It will also lead to infamy. Ayashasyam, Krishna is saying, ayashasyam means infamy. Also, he is also saying it is falgu, means insignificant. It is the most highly temporary. Why temporary? Only for few moments, pleasure only for few moments, and only to a small degree. The name jar itself means jalayati. Jalayati means burns. One whose remembrance burns one is called jar, because they can hardly meet and the lady has to face the fire of separation. And even if they meet, it is after going through lots of troubles, and that too for a short moment. But the happiness from one's own husband is long lasting. It's called sthayi suk. Krichram means kashtasadhyam, means very difficult. It's not easy to meet the lover. One has to cheat the whole world, the whole family, the whole society to meet each other. Now, bhayavaham, fearful. Fear of what? Fear of your own self, fear of the husband, fear of the family members, fear of the society, fear of this world, fear of the next world, the hellish planets, etc. Whether these days one does not believe in hell, still the hellish punishments are awaiting. Because these days people don't believe in hell. You tell them these, they say, okay, who believes in hell? But the hellish punishments are there waiting. Just like if one does not believe in jail, but when the police will beat him up and put him up in the jail, he will say, oh, jailam paramam satyam. This is also the truth. Similarly, there are the other supreme justice of the Lord who punishes according to the degree of the sin. Now in this life also, such a woman, she has to be fear being caught by her husband, relatives, friends, society. They will all beat her up. Even the police will also question. So, in such adulterous affairs, there is no happiness at all. That is what Krishna is explaining. To whom? Not to the gopis, to the people of this world. Please be careful about this point. Keep this in mind. What Krishna is speaking is not meant for the gopis. It is for the people of this world. Now next he says sarvatram. Sarvatram means everywhere. What is it? This is a truth anywhere in the world. Whether it is in the US or whether it is India, whether it is heaven, whether it is anywhere. This adulterous affairs is not appreciated. Be it here, be it a foreign land, heavenly place, anywhere it is ridiculed. The next word is jukupsitam. Jukupsitam means it's condemned. No one accepts it as a good act. So Krishna is saying, with all these reasonings, he's saying, please go back. I'm not married to you. I'm a jar. So you please go back. Now when the gopis heard all this, they got totally shattered. So Krishna says, see, I understand that you love me and you want to increase that love for me and you don't have any other desire. Now he's saying that in the next shloka. Let's listen to the shloka. Translation: Transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go back to your homes. So here Krishna is saying that by hearing about my katha, shravana, glories, by seeing my form, by meditation on my qualities, that is darshanat, and seeing my form is darshanat, and dhyanan, that is meditating on my qualities and leelas, and by kirtan, anukirtanat, by kirtan, the amount that the love can increase, we cannot get the same increase by mere physical proximity. So you go back. So Krishna is saying, even if you want to increase your love for me, still you should go back. Stay away from me. So now, there is the other side of the meaning to it, that is the prarthanamaya meaning to it. He means to say, look sakhis, the amount the love would increase by my physical proximity, that much love will not increase by shravanam and darshanam and dhyanam and mai bhavo anukirtanam. So don't go back. Please stay back. Is it possible the amount of love that would increase by being with him physically, that much would increase by staying away from him? Is it possible? No. Naturally, when you are physically near to him, it would increase much more than not being near to him. But Krishna is telling this for ordinary living beings, for them to increase their love. Since they cannot meet Krishna and they cannot have physical proximity, so they have to do shravanam and dhyanam and darshanam and anukirtanam. And in this way, increase the love for him. Now there's one more meaning, you know, that if one is doing deity worship, the degree of love will not increase as much as it would increase by shravanam. Many people do deity worship as a means to earn their living. Like in Banke Bihari Mandir and other places, the deity is to earn living. They meditate on the people who are coming in to see the deities than the deities. So this is why Krishna says that that deity worship may not increase the love as much as shravanam, because in deity worship the mind gets diverted to collecting money more than concentrating on the deity worship. In actuality, love increases by being personally associating with him physically. Even in the normal world, you can see that people meet each other and then they cry when they depart. Isn't it? Why? Because of the physical proximity. Now, hearing these unpleasant words, the gopis were frustrated and filled with anxiety. We will describe this in detail in our next session.